Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Hi. Test, test. Oh no, I said hi into this.
Hi. That's the way it starts.
Hi.
Okay. Gotta find my notes. All right.
All right.
Welcome to Continuing Conversations. I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And welcome to another episode here. We are discussing this morning. It's morning. No, it's afternoon, isn't it? 12:16.
They will never know.
No, that's true. This is evergreen. You might be listening to this 10 years from now.
Yes.
Maybe it's 100 years wow. into the future. And
ooh,
we
it's
are
a time
both
capsule.
Dead.
What?
130? Do you plan to make it that long? I hope not. No. No, I'm with all the nonsense going on in this world. I don't know.
I
how
might
much
not
more.
Make it till like 60.
I don't know if I can make it till tomorrow. That's the hope.
Make it till tomorrow.
Hope for tomorrow. Strength for today. We're going to be discussing Luke 9:51-62.
Yeah, weird text.
Very weird text. Do you have any housekeeping before we get going?
I started a new TV show.
Yay! I was going to say, we usually talk about reality TV shows or something.
Not reality. I started Bones.
Bones.
And not many people watch Bones.
I know nothing about Bones.
I don't really know why I was like, let's try this. It's a, like, they solve crimes with, you know, dead bodies and studying bones. And so she's a scientist and he works in the FBI and they've got a little tension going on.
Okay.
And, you know,
yeah, that's always fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're like, ooh, when do they get
together?
Yeah,
will they, won't they? That's always good for a show to have.
I'm pretty sure
they
do.
A Jim and a Pam sort of situation.
Spoiler, who else are they going to get together with? Like,
that's true. And don't set it up like that if you're not going to, you know.
Here's my thought, though. This is my $1 million idea.
Okay.
For books, there's
Goodreads,
which
owned
by Amazon, don't love it, but great little platform for like ranking your books that you read, looking at your friends' reads, what they
it's
have
very
read.
Fun. I'm kind of a lurker on Goodreads.
Yeah.
I have a Goodreads account. I haven't updated it probably in like
years. I am faithful to my Goodreads.
Yes.
Like,
Kelsey is also faithful to her
I
Goodreads.
I should follow her.
You should.
But
she will update. She will finish a chapter in her
and
book.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then I'll be like, all right, you know, it's 10 o'clock. And she'll be like, okay, one sec. She'll put the book down. She'll take out her phone and she'll update what chapter she's on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so cute.
My
people need to know what chapter I'm on in this book.
It's
like,
not
that
people need to know. It like keeps me accountable.
I think
like,
that's
okay,
why she does
I keep
it too.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm
you got your bookmark, but also you have your digital bookmark and she's in a book club too, so that helps.
Well,
you know, keep
and
on task.
And I read books that my friends read, like that's fun. Anyway,
you can have
I think you know where I'm going with this is that I'm gonna say there should be a Goodreads for TV shows called Good Watches.
There's like a movie there's like a movie version of this.
I think so, yeah.
Where you can
like Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
Oh,
it's more personal because Rotten Tomatoes is like an aggregate of
bunch of true.
But there's something for movies. What is it called? And you can watch Letterboxd. Letterboxd is a thing. So Letterboxd is you can watch movies, and just like Goodreads, you can follow. You know, your friends can all follow along, and then you can be like, you know, I just watched Goodfellas or something, and be like, and I give it 8 out of 10.
Yep.
And then your friends can
comment.
Like it and comment and be like, you're crazy. That movie's a 10 out of 10. And then, the whole thing is like it creates community around things that you like.
Yeah.
So, a Letterboxd or a Goodreads
for
shows.
Shows, because I'm like, unless I've talked to someone.
Yeah. How
do
you know?
Who like recommends a show to me.
Yeah.
Like, then I don't know. And this one I just kind of started watching.
Yeah, it's great.
Just picked one.
I like it.
So,
That's my favorite thing about shows and movies and books even is like it creates spaces for people to have conversations about
except when
stuff.
No one you know
watches it, so you're like, I'm
now
watching
I'm
Bones
all
and this
alone.
Really important thing happened, and it's like no nobody, you're just shouting into the
void. I texted one friend, I said, I bet you've watched Bones Like, I'm like, I know this girl. I
bet she's she watched Bones?
She texted back and she said, I watched the first few seasons.
Okay. All right.
I said, I have you pegged. I know you.
Yeah, I know you very well. So you've got two seasons to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
And
I didn't,
then maybe she'll get on board.
She wasn't super enthusiastic about having a conversation.
Yeah.
So I think she was just like, yeah, I watched it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. But anyway.
Yeah, it's just good. It's good to have.
Yeah.
You can create little pockets of community around these, you know, sometimes very silly things. But it's like you can get into talking about real stuff through fake things. You know?
People That's have great. Been watching The Bear. Did you watch The Bear?
Yeah, I have not started this latest season. The Bear is such a hard show for me because it's so stressful.
Oh, it is?
It's a very stressy show because it's a kitchen,
like
high... it doesn't start off this way, but after the first season, it turns into like high cuisine sort of stressy show.
Oh.
So there's a lot of like, you know, where's the duck sauce? And people are shouting at each other like, ah! And it's every episode seems to center around like there's a ticking clock and we have to go and something is burning. And oh my gosh, we're, you know, the money's running out and what are we going to do? And it's
running.
Like, oh, I can't. Some days... I'm like, I can't take that on.
Okay.
Yeah. Life is stressful enough.
That's funny.
I can't watch a show where everybody's shouting at each other. It's like, I needed something silly where
only if it's fun shouting at each other.
Fun shouting is good.
Yeah. Reality.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Manufactured. Something where I feel like I can be disconnected from it.
Yep.
I don't know. But that's to the credit of The Bear. It makes me feel like I'm right there where I'm like, oh, cousin, I'm sweating. Everybody calls each other cousin on that show.
That's cute.
It's a great show, though.
Okay.
It is very good. My dad actually started watching it because my dad's worked in kitchens his whole life, and he worked in a bunch of different restaurants on both sides, you know, front of house, back of house, whatever.
Yep.
And so he watches that show, and he's like, I know all of these people. Like, he's like, I have met all of these people. These are
good. They cast them well.
They cast very well of like, that's exactly, you know, what the pastry chef is like. He's just like that guy. And so it's, if you're in the restaurant biz too, it's a good show. But even if you're not, it's very good.
That's
I feel like I'm having some FOMO because I don't watch Love Island.
No, I don't either.
Everybody's talking Love Island and I'm like, I can't enter into this discussion at all.
I don't know. I can't.
I don't know. It's a
bridge
too far for me.
Aren't there like so many episodes?
Yeah.
And like, what can you watch of that much content? You
know? I
don't know. Like,
I can't do it. I can't wade into it.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. No.
That's how I feel about The Sopranos.
I was going to say Desperate Housewives.
Or Desperate Housewives.
No, Real Housewives. There's
so
many seasons.
Well, there's
so
many spinoffs too.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't wade into it.
I watched a couple seasons of The Real Housewives when I lived in Orange County.
The OC
Better watch
Housewives?
The Orange County ones. And I'd be like, oh, I've been to that beach.
I'm going to run into these people at the grocery store. So
I don't think
I better
they
know their
shop
background.
At the grocery store that I shop at.
You don't
at,
go to Erewhon?
No. I went to Erewhon once.
Yeah? How much money did you spend on
I bought the $20 smoothie or whatever.
Did you really?
The like Hailey Bieber smoothie
was it
or whatever.
Worth $20?
No, absolutely not.
No, of course
It was
not.
A smoothie. Like,
you didn't get a boxed water and some quinoa.
For $50.
For $50.
Yeah.
Bucks.
No.
Nah, it's, I don't know. It's a status symbol. Okay. Well, let's talk about your sermon then.
Yeah.
Luke 9, 51 through 62. This is a tough one. This is the foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the,
which
you
I
don't
did
have
not
any time to bury your father. You know, let the dead bury their own dead. Well, it's probably for the best that you didn't, because I never know where to go with this, because this is, there's so much, at least for me, there's so much shame around it.
It feels so opposite of like how Jesus treats people all the rest of the time. Like, was he in a mood that day or something?
I don't know.
You know?
Jesus was hangry or something, because he's like, no, you can't go home and say goodbye to your parents. No, you can't go bury your dead father. Let them sort it out. Figure that out. Follow me or be gone forever.
The clock running out on this one feels
real.
Yeah, the
ticking clock
is... Where Jesus is like, there's not time for that.
Yeah,
and
there's not time.
And maybe that's not the interpretation we should be taking. Like, maybe he's not saying that there's not time for it, but that it's not important or something.
There
like,
have definitely been interpretations that have gone in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think that those have been helpful, and I've read some of them. of, yeah, this but isn't also, about, like, don't care about your family, you know, don't.
But also, Jesus takes time in a lot of stories that we see.
To sit with his disciples.
To sit with people.
To share a last supper.
Yeah.
To wash their feet, you
know. So, like, now the clock is
now ticking? Suddenly he's like.
We're in Luke 9.
Yeah,
it's
don't
not
look
like
back. Don't look back. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Essentially, like, when Jesus comes to knock at your door, drop everything.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have a wife or a husband or kids or a dying father. You go. And you don't turn around. You don't get to say goodbye. You just go. And it's like, geez, Jesus, I don't know if I can do that.
Jesus,
because I know I can't. And in the times of my life when I've been called to stuff, I take some time to say farewell to the people before I go. I don't just Irish goodbye on my people, you know, like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So you stuck with the fruits of the Spirit.
So we avoided that altogether.
You avoided that altogether, which is fine.
There are other aspects of this text.
That's just the tricky part.
I made little references
Absolutely.
To it
mm-hmm.
but
yep.
yeah yep. I didn't dive in fully so mm-hmm. so it's also fruits of the Spirit from Galatians
yes which was great and we did the fruits of the Spirit dance with the kids
yes which
the
we needed more kids
yeah.
but
it's summertime and kids are they are
your son
few
held
and far
it down
between. Thank you Rhodes good job
yeah good job Rhodes
he loves being on stage so that's good mm-hmm. yeah that was fun that was fun doing that I like the that connection of if we live this life, you know, if we do live a life where we're following Jesus and we set down all these things that pull us in all these different directions, it will lead to good fruit. You know, we will be people who bear good fruit and the world will be able to see that.
So I was, I feel like this actually came yesterday later. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's been on my mind today, too. I'm having a tough time of being like, are we so expected to bear good fruit?
All the time.
Even when reconciliation is not available. Even when the people that we're in relationship with don't care or have purposes for harm.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Like, when is it appropriate to not be joyful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there are appropriate places to not be bearing fruits of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. There are times when that's not appropriate or possible.
Or possible. When are appropriate times?
That doesn't mean that you're less faithful.
Right. Well, when are appropriate times to not.
To lament.
To lament or to seek justice maybe instead of peace and yet
justice isn't
and yet named. I think we would take a couple of the fruits and say well we can't ever give up kindness like it's appropriate to always have kindness and like I don't you know how are we making a hierarchy of some of these fruits that like where do we make concessions
I don't know but into I mean I guess you could
being human
right? You could I would maybe more sort of turn it to be like, it is a kindness to be a person that seeks justice, even though that might make some people feel bad.
Okay, but are you sacrificing peace at the expense of kindness?
Some people's peace. You'll make some people feel less peaceful if you seek
justice. Who's the evaluator of that then?
For the Lord. I don't know.
Right,
like, because ultimately people would say, oh, you're just a troublemaker.
Right.
Let sleeping dogs lie. And it's like, no, I have to fight for people who are experiencing injustice. And in doing so, that might not be kindness to you because you feel like you're being persecuted. But that is a great kindness to those people who are experiencing the injustice.
Right.
So like, sorry that I'm upsetting your apple cart, but I'm doing so to help those that Jesus is calling me to help. So in the way you are still seeking a spirit, a fruit of the Spirit by showing a kindness to somebody else, but that kindness might come at the expense of seeming unkind to those who just want to let bygones be bygones and enjoy their privilege or whatever it is, because I don't know.
I think the hardest one for me.
You can twist all of these, I think.
I think the hardest one for me is the joy. Like when, And I maybe I've said this before too. Mm-hmm. Like I don't feel like I'm always the life is on the sunny side kind of person. Like I feel emotions very deeply, mm-hmm. and I feel sadness very deeply.
And that's so not always joy. Yeah.
And that's not always and there's not always this like, we'll just turn that into joy, mm-hmm. opportunity. Like right. I think there is a faithfulness in feeling sadness when sadness is appropriate.
Right. And I would argue that feeling the appropriate moments of sadness is what leads to moments of true joy later on.
Well, okay.
I think the people who constantly stuff their feelings down,
yeah.
they're never going to, you know, the people who are so stoic, you know, never too high, never too low. It's like, well, because you never allow yourself to wade into the lows, you'll never feel the joy of the highs because you don't know what it means to be both.
Well, and maybe that's getting to how I was trying to frame this of like, mm-hmm. the truth will be revealed in that. Like,
yeah,
the truth has to be at the base of these.
Yeah.
For them to actually be fruits.
Yeah. And for those listening at home who don't know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the works of the flesh, which are opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I love a really long list, and then and
Paul loves
like
a
these.
List.
He
though,
loves
right?
a list, and then loves to add and things like these. It's like, what more things could you even come from?
Well, the one that sticks out to me in there is anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, how do we?
Yeah, but is there such thing as righteous anger that would fall more in the fruits of the Spirit? I don't know. But it's tough, and
So I don't know. I feel like I've just been thinking about that. Of
it's
like
a lot. But we all know people in our lives or groups of people who are obviously in this works of the flesh side of life, because their life, no matter how they try to frame themselves as morally right, upright mm-hmm. people, morally righteous people, whatever, their life is full of strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and envy and factions and all these things. It's like mm-hmm. that'll just naturally come with that sort of life, even when they try to, you know, I'm trying to tiptoe around these things here, but, I don't know.
I think we're on different pages today
a little bit, but I mean that's the thing about this text is you can go in so many different ways with it. Very interesting. I like your tact on this because sort of waded into this freedom discussion
mm-hmm.
because the 4th of July is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 30th today, and this is a week where everybody's talking about and thinking about freedom and America and what it means to be the, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave and everything. So you were talking about sort of a different way to understand what freedom means.
Well, the history of the United States has, married those two together,
mm-hmm.
that
right.
the biblical freedom and the freedom of, people who came to America and stole land from other mm-hmm. people are the same kinds of freedom.
Right.
And like, blanket right there.
Yeah.
Those are not the same.
No.
There is a difference.
Right.
And we like to think that we as American Christians
mm-hmm.
have this, like, the world is our oyster.
Right.
Because of our freedom.
Right.
In both of those
right.
places.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, first of all, not how Jesus is talking about freedom or mm-hmm. Paul, or like, that's not biblical freedom.
No.
To steal from other people because we want it. Like,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
not freedom.
No.
And our country has so distorted this idea of freedom at the expense of other people.
At the expense of others,
so,
yeah. And who cares who you step on to get.
So, we look at the people who maybe mm-hmm. think that they have this freedom and, you
right.
know, great for you.
Right.
That, and sure, that's your definition of how you've
mm-hmm.
earned that or gotten through that or, you know, whatever, but like,
right,
that you don't get to exist
right
in a silo,
right? You need this community, yeah, which is what your point of there's some sort of requirement to get in the game is mm-hmm. how you worded mm-hmm. it. It demands we be in the game, and this requirement then to create freedom for others through our community.
Yeah.
And that leads to, and this is the connection to the fruits of the Spirit, that leads to these fruits that will show that we are people who truly follow what it really means to be a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Really means to be the person who puts their hand to the plow and doesn't look back. It doesn't mean all those other things that we've already said. It means you're creating spaces of freedom for the oppressed.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah. Right? Freedom through truth,
mm-hmm.
not performative actions. And then I loved your piece about young people in church.
Okay, so this
because
could
we
be
get that a lot.
I mean, mm-hmm. this could be forever. We could talk about this forever,
yeah.
Because
yeah, for sure.
And it didn't get the space that it needed in a little sermon. But
no,
here we go.
We'll
talk
time.
About it now.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to make the point that the church for so long has functioned as a performative place for people to come
yeah.
and be like, look at me. I'm such a yeah. great Christian.
To see and be seen.
To see and
church.
Be seen.
You show up,
right?
You wear a big hat.
Yep.
You know, you dress
yep.
up in your finery and mm-hmm. you show up at church and everyone goes, wow,
ooh,
Mr.
What?
And Mrs. Johnson are at church. Isn't that
yep.
great? Wow. Look
yep.
at them. And it's
yep.
like, this is the place to be
yep.
because it's a performative thing.
And we now are experiencing a generation of young people not going to church,
mm-hmm.
like lowest numbers of church attending
right.
young people.
Right.
Almost ever. Right.
Yeah.
And all these people who do attend church,
mm-hmm.
who have for years and years and years, and who I'm going to make a generalization of probably been a little performative about it.
Right.
At points. Maybe not always.
Because you
maybe
see,
they're genuine.
The,
sure.
The young people who are going to church now. They're not, they don't care at all what you wear.
No. So
what
the
church
so
is
the
about.
Old people.
They just want an authentic community.
Right, right.
Right.
So the old people are like, where are the young people? And we get that as
mm-hmm.
the young people in church
yeah.
always.
Yeah.
Like, we have all the answers for every young person ever.
Yes. I can tell you
the
where
answer,
they are.
The
yeah.
answer mm-hmm. that I can give you is, I guess I just haven't been, you know,
yeah.
driven away yet.
I
like,
guess so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you know,
yeah.
whatever. Maybe I have a thicker
yeah.
skin than some who
yeah,
have
maybe.
Been driven away. I don't
because
know.
I know many that didn't. Yeah.
Well, probably the answer is I have this weird calling thing to
yeah,
actually be here
this
that I don't.
Nagging Holy Spirit
that
thing
I,
keeps calling us back.
You know,
but that
didn't ask for. But
that answer,
but
where
not,
are the young people?
That's not to say that I haven't experienced inauthenticity
mm-hmm,
in
for sure
in the performative aspects of church that
yeah.
that people, you know, talk about the fruits of the Spirit and come and think they're so great and loving
yeah,
and blah
and
blah,
nice.
Blah and
mm-hmm.
and nice and
yeah.
and young people have experienced them as not nice like they've
yeah.
they've been yelled at, they've
mm-hmm.
been told they're wrong,
they've been told their jeans have too many holes in it and they're not welcome
oh,
here because
gosh.
You know whatever, it's like there are lots of examples of yeah, why aren't the young people
they've
here?
Been told they're
and it's like, well, have
they're
you told
doing
them that
the
they're
wrong
not welcome?
Things and
yeah.
they're loving the wrong people and
mm-hmm.
they're
yep.
not welcome and they can't
mm-hmm.
be quiet and they
yep.
ask the wrong questions and
they
should
they,
just believe
they
and
the
they shouldn't have these
Facebook.
Feelings and they should yeah and they
yeah.
see the things you read on Facebook and they say those people don't care about other
have
people.
Have they been reading the same Bible as I have? Because that's not what Jesus said.
Well, and I think we've kind of said this, like
mm-hmm.
there is the trend going around social media of like, what radicalized me? What do you mean?
The
like
church,
the Bible?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Jesus
the-
did? I don't know.
Like,
but like, why do you, yeah.
Or,
why do you think
like,
I'm such a radical?
I grew up every day saying liberty and justice
for
all and now I want that
I actually
for our country.
Think that
and,
means for
and,
all and
right.
not just people who look a certain way or have a
have,
certain legal
have a
status
certain amount
or whatever.
Of money or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, no, this is what the gospel
so,
tells us. So yeah, where are the young people? Why aren't they in church? Well, they can sniff
the young,
phoniness out.
Yeah, the young people
very
are
quickly.
Sick of this performative
and the church
stuff.
Has to get out from under that
yeah.
and become a place that is about finding authentic community that follows Jesus.
Which means when you're in the game, you are actually living through a truth.
Mm-hmm.
You are not, you know, putting on a face at church and then saying something on
yeah.
Facebook when you go home. You're
yeah.
not I don't know. It's you're not putting on your Sunday best and then criticizing someone else's outfit.
Putting like, on your Sunday best, you know, driving around with a Love Like Jesus bumper sticker while you shout horrific things, you know, when you got
and so,
road rage. It's like these things aren't adding up, and certain young people have seen it and gone, this type of community is not for me.
Right. And they found other community that is.
That can
I think
do
that,
that
I think that's the other part of this is that the people questioning where the young people are think that the young people are just out like roaming the streets and doing nothing.
Yeah,
they have
listless.
Found other community that is authentic, that is real, that are living the fruits of the Spirit.
And that could be a church. In a lot of cases there are
lots of church, house church
or you know, these smaller unincorporated sort of church bodies are just as much church as any other church, but they don't want to come into the big building with the stained glass because they know what has been said from those pulpits and they don't want anything to do with it. So that's a big challenge for us as church leaders who will be for a couple more generations leaders. And I don't know what we're going to do.
Right.
It's a tough, it's a tough order. It's a tall order. And
well, and I think I'm going to go a step farther and say there is group of people not this is a general not a specific group of people like taking up the space that should be available for young people to come into a church also and this is with the ways that things have been done with the traditions that have stuck with the mindsets that are taking up too much space and part of getting in the game just might be getting out of the game
Or at least stepping to the sideline for a minute and letting somebody else take the ball.
To let someone do it.
Let somebody else run with the ball.
Yep.
Give it a try.
Yep. And that doesn't mean that your service to the church and your faith life are invaluable or like
doesn't
to
mean
discount
you've done
that
a bad job.
All.
No.
This is the passing of the torch to
and
when you ask
happen.
Questions like where are the young people, you better be willing to get them in the game.
And that's so that's kind of the purpose of your bearing fruit sort of sermon and conversation is a lot of this. If you want fruit to grow, you got to make space for it.
This could have been a great sermon if I would have thought of that. To
well,
yeah, that
I mean,
if
that,
you want fruit
I,
to
that's
grow,
that's what I heard when you
here's
yeah,
well, that's what you heard when I'm saying that right now, but
no, I heard it on Sunday too.
Okay, good. Good,
because I got it. See,
I didn't
I
hear
wrote
it.
Stuff down.
I didn't hear it.
I
so.
Wrote this stuff down.
Well, I didn't know I was going that direction. I guess, but
Holy Spirit's funny like that. You hear a lot of different
true.
Stuff.
That's true.
And so how do we do this? And you had this great. It was one of your points. It's funny you had a sermon with slides to be like point one, point two, as like I'm going to give this some structure because this is heady.
I think I needed the structure
absolutely.
To actually put it together.
And the people
and then,
even, because it's complicated, right? Like this is a complicated text. And,
well, and I felt like I was using a lot of the same language, so I wanted to put it out there of like this is a separate point than the last point that sounded just like this point. Like,
right. So you talked about freedom through relationship means reconciliation, not winning. Not by, you know, fighting and violence and one side coming out on top. So in this conversation we've had about, like, you got to let the young people take the ball for a little bit. That's not saying, like, loser,
your
ways
are
bad and our ways are good and new. It's just, like, it's just reconciling means just coming together and finding this common ground together.
Right.
It's about, you know, self-giving actions that can lead to unity in these communities through our many, many diversities that we have. And if you're not allowing that and you're just going to strong arm everybody into one way of thinking and one way of doing church and one way of serving, then people are just going to opt out of it.
Right.
They're just going to go, never mind. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right.
And not come back here.
Yeah. I was thinking about the Hortman's funeral on Friday.
I think it was,
And I think I used this as a point of, like, there's reconciliation in grief together.
Yeah.
Or in, you know.
Communal grief.
Communal, things like that. And and so when you look at something like that, where are you even looking at winners and losers?
Yeah.
Right, like in something like death and a funeral, what?
Mm-hmm.
Where? Like, I don't know. If there we're looking, okay, we're talking about a political assassination, yeah. And we're talking like whatever. Is there some sort of victory that these people are gone? I don't know.
There were elected officials that did and tweeted things out saying, right, "This is what happens."
I can't even
believe
we're having that conversation.
Socialist or whatever. It's right, wild.
I can't. And so
somebody
you
made that act of violence into, "Ha, my side got a win today."
Right.
It's like that is
right.
Disgusting.
That is disgusting.
You're bad,
that is,
and you should feel bad.
Wild.
That's a terrible thing
to think and do.
And
we just like go along with stuff. Like, I don't know.
I
like,
certainly hope not.
That yes, there are arguments that I've had. There are conversations. There are you know whatever where it's like I just kind of want to win this one. You know, like I'm right and they're wrong, and I want to reconcile, but like I want them to know that I'm right.
Yep.
And that one to me about a death that
yeah.
two people died and a dog like
and a
that
dog,
they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not here.
Yeah.
And you have said,
yeah, they had
I
families
won.
And,
like,
yeah.
I feel like I
yeah.
won.
Yeah.
Just, I don't even. Yeah. We have lost the plot.
We've absolutely lost the plot.
If that is something that we can, like.
Yes. It's okay that we have differences. We need to come together and agree in those dark moments and grieve in those dark moments as a unified nation, community, whatever.
Yeah.
Not make it about one side winning, one side losing. So that was one of your points I thought was well said in a time that's on a lot of people's mind.
Well, and I think for how much like winning feels so connected to self-indulgence,
right,
and our own desires of the flesh then
mm-hmm.
too,
yep.
where the reconciliation is the opposite mm-hmm. of that. Those are the fruits of the spirit. Those
right.
are the manifestation
yeah.
of like goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
yeah.
Yep. So I thought that was well said too. And then also because we're coming up on Independence Day,
mm-hmm.
I know you were thinking through these things and what that means with the 4th of July coming up, you spoke about freedom is about community, not independence.
Yeah,
ironically,
I specifically wanted to use the word independence. That was really strategic.
But that's very countercultural too
yeah.
in our world because
right.
in this country, we love stories about rogues who go out on their own and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And these stories about people who didn't have two pennies in their pocket and all by themselves, they created
yeah.
an empire and look at them now. And isn't that great? And it's like, yes, those stories can be inspiring.
Yeah.
But it's not biblical.
No.
In biblically, it's all about community and community
yes.
support.
Yeah.
And
well,
you
I would
know,
argue probably those stories aren't true either. Like
yeah a lot of ways it's like yeah you had massive help from
yes.
those communities around
even if
you
it wasn't communities around you systems set
yeah.
up for your
it's not
own
just,
yeah
uh-huh. not just
okay.
you by yourself
yep. Yep.
doing all these things but we love those stories especially in the United States of,
yeah
of these you know intrepid individuals
yep.
you know independent from everybody else with all the odds against them back against the ropes whatever and they do it. And it's like, that is just not
which,
what we're preaching here when we're trying to build up these communities.
But which is great. Like, I think the backbones of those stories are great when it's like overcoming hardships and struggles and whatever.
For
the
sure.
point that you're saying and
mm-hmm.
that I was making too is that it's not in a vacuum. You are not doing this all on your own. And even if you are, there, I don't know, some of the movies or stories
right.
or whatever is like inspiration from
mm-hmm.
someone who's passed or someone who's not there. Or like,
right.
oh, I remember that this
right.
person said this thing and that got
mm-hmm.
me through. Like,
right. And when our communities are at their best, we support each other in
mm-hmm.
those ways, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and we give each other love.
Mm-hmm.
When we need love, we give each other joy when we are downtrodden. You know, we can
mm-hmm.
be peace for those in our communities
mm-hmm.
that are feeling,
yeah.
you know, scattered to the winds. You know, we can have patience and kindness and be generous and be faithful and gentle with those whom we love in our communities. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. That's mm-hmm. how we are using the fruits of the Spirit to uphold one another and support one another. And that's not independence, that's dependence on one another as a community.
Right. Right.
And that's why Jesus had us form these communities. You know, right. Jesus didn't send us right. alone into these spaces. I'm thinking of this already because my text for next Sunday is yeah. Jesus sending out the 70, you know, sheep to the wolves. And yeah. But Jesus isn't sending them alone. Right. And that's like the key piece to it is like you're going out together.
Yes.
You know, two by two, he's sending them out ahead of him. Yeah. And this promise to be with them and continuing to support them. It's like, this is what we do as church. This is what yeah. it means to be church. It's not phony. It's not inauthentic. Right. It's right. real. And it can be broken at times. And yeah, I don't know. It's just.
But I think where our foothold then here is it can be broken. We cannot do it well, mm-hmm. whatever. But we also have indicators of when it is going well.
Yeah.
Which is the fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit.
So.
And we have indicators when these communities aren't working well. Right, and that's the works of the flesh.
Right.
And so there are a lot of communities when that's the only things I see when I look at those communities.
Yeah.
Is impurity and debauchery and, you know, all these jealousy and anger and quarrels amongst and dissensions. It's like, well, no wonder.
Right.
Because they're not
right.
following what we were called to do.
Yeah. So when we ask those questions of like, what do we do? How do we know that we're doing it? What's mm-hmm. happening? Like, this is one where we can point to like, these are the
markers.
Markers.
Yeah.
I don't know the word.
Yeah.
Brain's off today. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these are the markers of when we're doing it.
When we're doing this right, this is what we can see.
And so.
And I see this all the time in our
and
in
it's
our
not
going to
be and it's not going to be all the time and mm-hmm. it's not going to be forever.
No.
But you know, hey, these are mm-hmm. these are things to look for, to strive for, to
right.
yeah, to yep. point out when they're happening.
Mm-hmm. And I see that all the time here in our church. You know, when I look out on Sundays and people are chatting and having coffee and stuff, they're talking about, oh, I'm having a surgery next mm-hmm. week or whatever, and you know, they're receiving hugs and words of encouragement and, you know, I'll pray for you. And those things, those things are, they have deep meaning to us and they help us get through those dark times.
Yeah.
And that's why we need church to uphold each other. But we can't do that if it's all based
fake.
On something fake and phony
and
a false narrative of who we're supposed to be. And, and we have to be bright, shiny, happy people all the time. It's like, that's not what the world needs to be. And that's not what the world needs. And that's not who we're called to be as a church. I have the lament for the weight of reckless power.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to read this again because it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you find this?
It's a pastor who I follow on social media.
It's good.
The pastors these days are putting out a lot of content.
Yeah.
And
because there's a lot of brokenness, right?
There's a lot of brokenness.
This is when we need it.
They're doing a really good job, mm-hmm. and I like when they frame things not as opinions or not as mm-hmm. like, here's what we should be doing, but like
right.
just as a lament or as a prayer or as
right.
a like, hey, I see you.
Right.
And so I've been paying attention to those more,
mm-hmm.
to be like, I don't need to rewrite something that's already.
No, this is great.
And really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to keep in mind as we're coming to the 4th of July and what this means as we celebrate our nation's independence and we think about the future of this nation that we are all a part of and we're all working together to better and bring into a new day of liberty and justice for all. So we read this in church, but for those of you who weren't here or those of you who haven't watched the YouTube, we're on YouTube, by the way, at All Saints NYA, search us up, and you can find last week's service. But I wanted to read this because it bears repeating. This is A Lament for the Weight of Reckless Power by Benjamin Kramer. Oh God, how can you bear the weight of this world? How can you endure the sight of such violence dressed as virtue, of such cruelty disguised as order? You said, blessed be the peacemakers, but we see warmongers praised. You said, the last shall be first, but we see the last trampled, silenced, forgotten. Break the arm of injustice, O Lord. Disarm the proud. Rise as the defender of the lowly. Do not let the innocent be crushed without answer. We believe you are near to the brokenhearted. We believe you see the tears. We no longer have the words to cry, but we are tired. We are overwhelmed. We are afraid. Speak again, God of the oppressed. Shake the thrones of the arrogant. Restore dignity to the crushed. Bring justice, not in theory, but in reality. Until mercy rises like morning light and the powerful learn to love, we will keep lamenting, keep watching, keep hoping, and keep crying out to you. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good one. I like that.
That's a good one.
I like it. Good way to end, I think, unless you have anything else.
No.
So thank you for being a part of our continuing conversation. Mm-hmm. And as always, we want to continue that with you too. So give us a call, send us an email, drop by the church. We'd love to hear from you, hear your thoughts on all this. Till next time, talk to you guys soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.